Awkward Vampire Slayer. It is Sunday evening around 7:30, February 19th. I hope we didn't lose any listeners because we are starting late. We were supposed to start at 7:15. But once again, we had technical difficulties. What else is new on this show? Technical difficulties just about every week. There's something, or every month, or however frequently. The show hasn't been airing every single week. Usually, the plan is to do it every 2 or 3 weeks, just because we have day jobs over here. But, you know, we've been airing pretty frequently lately because of all the goings-on here in the Buffalo area. But I apologize for the technical difficulties. We are trying to work them out, but it took us a good 15 minutes or so just to get the computer running. We don't know if it's our old computers here or if it's the TalkShoe site, but whatever it is, we've just been having a lot of technical problems logging into the site and getting things to work. But we're here. We're here. We've got, we're here today. We weren't planning on doing a broadcast. We just kind of got this started at the last minute because of some things that have been sort of happening in the Occupy movement here in the Western New York area. One of the things, as you may or may not know, is the eviction. Yep, that's right. Occupiers here in Buffalo and Western New York were actually evicted from Niagara Square, where they were camped out in front of City Hall.
They've started tearing apart the two big tents. This is the media tent and the kitchen tent. They've just started tearing apart. That's personal property that you're throwing, just tossing like it doesn't belong to anybody.
Occupied Buffalo was always nonviolent. Occupied Buffalo always respected private property.
Yes, that's right. Occupied Buffalo was raided
this
by the
This is the
police.
Rest of the protesters that are left over here. No property!
Thursday, February 2nd, sometime after midnight. Very conservative radio show, WBEN AM, here in Buffalo, reported as happening after 2 in the morning. National Public Radio here in Buffalo said very little about the Occupy movement at all. They didn't seem to have any information. They just said it happened after midnight. Unfortunately, WBEN, which is a very conservative radio station, actually gave it a lot of coverage, a ton of coverage, and they seemed very knowledgeable about what happened. Perhaps they were involved in what happened. For all we know, they seemed pretty supportive of the Occupy movement being taken down here. Whereas, not National Public Radio here, a radio station here in Buffalo, just said very little, and I thought it was really strange, actually.
All of a sudden, Buffalo's getting $1 billion from Mayor Byron Brown to throw around, and he's been smirking on television that, you know, they have a plan that they'll execute, and this was the plan from day one. I mean, barely 2 hours after the agreement expired, and the agreement was for a liability. Occupy Buffalo never was saying that we needed that permit to be here. We were only saying that, you know, in case something happened, like a car drove up onto the curb, you know, we were taking our own liabilities. That's why we participated in the agreement. So the agreement was never about, you know, the right to protest or the right to occupy public land and to assemble and to petition the government in perpetuity. So, I mean, you know, personally, I've been sitting in at the Erie County IDA meetings, the Industrial Development Agency, where they give out corporate welfare tax cuts, and Mayor Byron Brown has been rubber stamping every single one that passes that board because, you know, the real estate developers who apply for that donate money to the political campaigns of this city. And, you know, that type of crony capitalism works for a few people, but it doesn't work for most Americans, and people are waking up to that. And, you know, Mayor Byron Brown acknowledges by this action that, you know, the status quo is okay. You know, he doesn't want people to ruffle up feathers and try to change things too quickly. But, you know, he's elected by people, and people are going to respond to, you know, his stance on freedom of speech, freedom of petition of government. New York State doesn't even have a statewide referendum. There's no way to petition the government other than, you know, reaching out to your government officials. We sent a letter to the mayor over two months ago, asking to open a dialogue so grievances could be addressed. He didn't come down once. So if you're petitioning government and government isn't responding to you, you know, there's not supposed to be a shot clock. There's no referendum available. There's no alternative other than protesting and petitioning the government before government. So.
Okay, this audio footage, by the way, was taken from ustream.tv/channel/boots of solidarity. That's ustream.tv/channel/boots of solidarity. Among the things that were taken down from Occupy Buffalo include a teepee, which had been donated to them. Yep, a teepee, and they were actually considering turning it into a peace tent, an empathy and compassion tent, and also a geodesic dome, which is quite a large-sized dome that included a heater in it so that they could warm up in the wintertime. There was also a rather large food tent that they had set up. It was really, really quite a setting, you know, like a little city within the city there had been taken down. Now, the reason why we did this sort of emergency broadcast today is that some folks had broken away from Occupy Buffalo, calling themselves Occupy Western New York, and they were revamping some old houses in the city. And I'm very sad to have discovered that they, too, were raided. And they were not camping out, actually. They were taking old, beaten-up houses in one of the poorest neighborhoods in the city and actually fixing them up, believe it or not. Something the city has not been doing. Fixing up these old homes. And my understanding is, I got the report off of their Facebook site on February 16th, which is Friday. The address is 1370 Michigan in Buffalo. It's near Main Street in Utica, if you're local to the area. It's near Main and Utica. Just east on Utica is a street called Michigan. 1370 Michigan, this area is a very poor area. There are a lot of old abandoned homes there. They've been abandoned for many, many years. The city has not done anything to fix them up. And here these folks from Occupy Buffalo have just been going in there, fixing up these houses, and oddly enough, somebody from the city decided that was a bad thing for them to do. Here's an interview we did.
I like old houses.
With them.
Yeah, you can see the snow coming through over there.
A lot of people could live here.
Yeah. And you could see, like, it's open right there.
Yeah, major insulation issues. We need, it's just a matter of all everybody working together to get it done.
That's what we need in our society, is to get people to work together again.
Right, it's all about resource sharing, tool pooling, everybody bringing all their tools and resources together and working together to get it accomplished. And if we can do that, then this will go very quickly. But if everyone just kind of holds back, and then it'll cost us a lot more and take a lot more time. So if everyone can work together, we can get this, you know, flip for the community. I think within a couple of months. I'm very, very quick. This whole house has been cleaned in a week. So, and it was a lot worse than it is right now. So.
Yep, this video was made, we have it dated January 22nd. Yeah, they were doing some great work on this old house, very old, beaten-up house. They cleaned it out. They were painting it. It was starting to look quite nice. They were raided just a few days ago by the city, who boarded it up. And apparently Mr. J went over there today. Mr. J was in the area to check out what had happened to the house. And Mr. J, do you want to... talk a little bit about what you saw when you went over there to 1370 Michigan. Whoops. Sorry about that.
Well, they had taken some old plywood and sealed up the a window and then the doorway where people were coming in and out to do work in the past on the south side. And on the another window closer to the road, there's a big orange sign basically saying, no trespassing, keep out, with a statement that's just indicating that you could get $1,000 if you reported on someone trespassing there.
Now, my understanding is that a couple people from the Occupy Buffalo movement were actually spending the night in that house. So, you know, obviously they can't stay there anymore. So, yeah, I mean, and you know, apparently when they had originally boarded up the house, one of the guys went over and took the boards off because, you know, he planned on furthering the work of fixing up the house. But as apparently, as you saw today, they haven't been over there. So who knows what's going to go on behind the scenes, if they're going to continue to try to buy the house from the city or, you know, take, you know, some. I think that what they want to do is they want to legally own the house and be able to legally fix it up. They're trying to go through legal channels. Do you think that it's possible to go through legal channels? I know you're not the conspiracy theorist that I am. Of course, I, Buffy Lowe, am a conspiracy theorist, and I personally think our system works against us, and trying to work with the system seems pretty futile to me. But, of course, we can't fight people with guns and with tasers and things like that. So what's the solution here? I mean, we can't fight, you know, we can't fight City Hall, I guess you could say, if they come by with their tasers and guns and try to kill us for fixing up an old house. But, I mean, is it worth it to try to negotiate with them? I suppose that's the only choice that's available. But what are your thoughts, Mr. J? Do you think that they'll be able to get, you know, to legally be able to fix up this house?
Well, I suppose there's a whole bunch of legal nitpicking on this, that, and the other thing. And I'm not privy to those details. But you would think that something could be done, because if it's sit there abandoned all this time, it in its current condition, which is no running water, no working electricity, the renovation work means that certainly it has no value in terms of the typical retail market at this moment, I would say. So
the city can't sell it or anything like that?
Well, that's what I don't know, is who actually owns it.
Well, from what I understand, the city owns it. I mean, that's what they're claiming.
Well, that makes sense if it's been probably totally abandoned, no taxes were being paid. But probably, see, there's no mechanism for something more innovative course of action to do about this. Some sort of, you know, they talk about property values if you sell it for $1, or, you know, there's all kinds of things. And I see it, this is just a microcosm of the macrocosm in this country. Everyone that has any power to do anything has some reason to be afraid. And afraid people don't get anything accomplished. When Congress, if they had any kind of guts, any kind of vision, they could override, a lot of things could happen. But no one seems to see or wants to face the danger that the country's in. So at that level, they aren't doing anything. Here, I mean, what would you do about a house and all this, that, and the other thing? You know, it's like you're threatening the status quo. It's like we got these rules about how things are done, and how are you going to do it differently?
Well, I mean, especially since the city is not doing anything about those houses, and as we saw on that street, there are a lot of old abandoned homes, and these homes have been sitting there for years and years and years. City's not doing anything. Apparently, you know, Buffalo is a pretty poor city. I'm guessing that they're going to claim that they don't have the money to do anything about it. So if they don't have the money or the concern for we the people of the city of Buffalo, to fix up those homes, why are they going after these occupiers who did such wonderful work? I mean, they made a house that looked run down and old pretty. They painted it in beautiful, bright colors, painted a pretty peace sign on it. By the way, you can watch a video of it on dailymotion.com/feedingmosquitoes if you want to get some glimpses of the footage that was shot there. dailymotion.com/feedingmosquitoes But, I mean, really, I was impressed by how nice the house was starting to look. I mean, granted, you know, of course they weren't able to get everything done. I mean, you know, they, as you said, you know, there's no plumbing or electricity set up or anything in that house. But, gosh, what's in the minds of these city officials, you know, just, you know, boarding up that house?
It could be.
I mean, do you think it's about control? I mean, do you think it's like, you know, we don't want you people to have any control, or do you think it's just more that they were concerned about violation of ordinances or dangers being posed?
I see people, we're dealing with a very angry population all over, and I see a lot of, fear and a lot of things. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's a concern of liability. So someone's in there, and, you know, that's not secure, so someone gets raped or something. Or this happens, or the other thing happens, someone gets hurt. It doesn't have normal ownership or insurance on it, so, you know, someone wants to sue somebody, so they end up suing the city. Mm-hmm. Who knows what kind of scenarios are in somebody's minds. Mm-hmm. And so you end up with worst-case scenario lawyer thinking. So no one gets anything done, and nothing happens.
And what I saw in the, those are some really good points that you raised. I also saw on the Facebook site for Occupy Western New York, they were saying that there was a lot of trash, a lot of garbage that they pulled out of the house that was still sitting there, and they thought that maybe a neighbor might have complained or whatnot, excuse me, about the trash that was kind of beside the house.
You know, that's an interesting point. I walked up to the doors. I just didn't, to get a little closer look. And I noticed that, frankly, you and I were there the day you took some video, and they were, the whole couch was being dumped. The pile of trash that was there that day from the work they had been doing, it's not as much. Mm-hmm. Some of that trash has disappeared. Some of it's gone somewhere.
Well, I would think that that they could just pick it up with a city trash removal. Couldn't they just do that? Because that's, I know what they did with the abandoned house next to mine. That's what they did.
Well, there's no one, if no one actually is in ownership, no one's paying for monthly services. But yes, technically, the Buffalo is remarkable in that they'll throw anything into a dumpster within limits at a given time.
There's so much to throw into a dumpster in Buffalo.
So they could easily have, someone could have dragged something out and it could have incrementally been reduced. I don't want a piece of the week, so I'm not sure what's happened there. But I do recall that it struck me that it didn't seem to be what's there now has been there for who knows how many years, just like the house has been. Mm-hmm. So I don't think.
Right.
That didn't seem like a big deal.
What I'm really interested about is my own experience with this whole Occupy movement. As you know, I've set up this podcast and I've made videos and whatnot, and I've gotten a certain amount of resistance from occupiers. You know, today I just posted on the Facebook site for Occupy Rochester and they censored me. They deleted my post, and I was really surprised. You know, I wrote to them several times. I just left several comments saying, "Why are you deleting my post? Why are you censoring me?" Finally got a response from somebody who said, well, we decided in our GA that we weren't going to allow posts unrelated to Rochester, New York on this site. You have to post it on a different site. And I just thought that was really interesting because this is a show that's based in Buffalo, New York, but it's not really about Buffalo, New York. It's about the Occupy movement in general, which I think I made pretty clear. But it's not the first time I've been censored. You know, I was censored by Occupy Buffalo as well on another occasion when I was critical of some things that they did. I'm just curious about this because, I'm really trying to support the Occupy movement here, and I'd like to see the Occupy movement succeed. But, I mean, don't we need to be the change we seek in the world? And you know, it's puzzling to me, really. I mean, it's just very, very puzzling. And I know when I had approached some people in Occupy Buffalo about this podcast, I also, received some rather, snobbish responses from people who wanted to know how many listeners I had and whether or not I was on the level of Fox News, I guess. Obviously this is not Fox News. I mean, the whole idea of this podcast is, hey, we're not Fox News. This is an independent podcast, and, this is a chance for people to speak and express their voices. And, if I were Fox News, then if this were Fox News, then, we would not, we wouldn't probably be talking about the Occupy movement. Fox News is not interested in the Occupy movement except to maybe disparage it. So, as an activist, I feel like I want to get support from other activists, Maybe that seems a little selfish of me, but, I feel like, it's not easy for me to do things like set up this podcast, make my videos, produce my videos and whatnot. Certainly, I don't get paid to do it. And, I do it because I believe in the cause, and it's just kind of nice to get a little, recognition or, a thank you or just some appreciation for it and, whatever. But anyway, it is what it is. But, I just thought I'd throw that out there. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, Mr. J. Perhaps you don't.
Well, some of what you shared, you'd like your experience with the Rochester group. And some of the other things we've picked up, the little internal dissensions and things that have occurred.
Yeah, at Occupy Buffalo, yeah, there's been
and
a lot.
It's like Occupy is like such a big nebulous idea in some respects. It's so big that when push comes to shove, it's like all you can do is do some little thing in your area. And you get provincial in your thinking, and it's hard to connect to a bigger vision, probably because this is a spontaneous group movement across the country, but it's not united by enough maybe focused things that everyone can work on at the same time or across that. So I suppose lacking that sense of specifics that everyone can take action on maybe encourages a little bit of provincialism in terms of what happens at the local level. But just like some of your references to what's going on with city council, I remember that old phrase. I think it's biblical. It doesn't matter. Where there is no vision, the people perish, and that's what we're struggling with here is at the highest level and the lowest level. It's like a sense of future is not there.
A sense of a future? Mean like a future for this country?
For individual lives and families, that all that becomes in jeopardy, I think, in people's minds.
I think that's interesting because I think when people don't think they have a future, I think what happens is when we don't think we have a future, we tend to become very instant gratification oriented, and we tend to live for the moment more, and it just becomes all about me. Whereas when people think they have a strong future in front of them, I think, I apologize, guest four, about the audio. We're having major technical difficulties today. We always seem to have technical difficulties on this show, but today it was especially difficult for us to get on audio-wise. But anyway, what was I just saying?
Talk Show's done that before.
Yeah, Talk Show is notorious. I think it's a free site, so we have to be grateful that we have a chance to, air our views for free, in a capitalist society. But, yeah, the audio is we're constantly trying to work it out. And we don't have the most expensive state-of-the-art equipment either. But, we make backup recordings of all of our podcasts so that if you listen to any of our recorded podcasts, quite often they sound a lot better than the live podcasts because we back them up, and then I go through and edit them and try to make them sound better. So,
understood.
Yeah, yeah. So, guest four, do you have any comments? I don't know if you're familiar with the Buffalo area or if you.
I actually live north of Buffalo.
Oh, awesome, awesome. So, have you heard about the eviction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of hard not to.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't, I don't really watch television, but I listen to the radio, and I noticed that WBEN, which is a very conservative radio station, gave it a lot of publicity, but National Public Radio said virtually nothing about it, or very little about it, which I thought was interesting.
Which I found odd, because
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how I felt.
I listened to both BEN and NED.
Okay.
And it was, you know, it's interesting because the feedback and the things that I heard were only on BEN, and they were kind of terse. Not a lot there. At least from the news side. Now, the comment side, there was a lot. But not on the news itself.
Are you speaking... I'm sorry, did you say WBEN or WNED?
BEN.
Oh, BEN. Right. Yeah, I heard that morning, the morning of the eviction, I heard... only because I had my alarm set. I don't like to listen to WBEN, to be honest, but I had my radio alarm clock set, and it woke me up that morning, and they were talking a lot about the eviction, like just going on and on and on about. They seemed so happy about it, basically. You know, they were so thrilled.
Well, they're shit. And this is true for anything that runs the same thing for 2.5 hours or 3 hours. MBT block. They repeat that story over and over and over and over again. It's one of the reasons I listen to NED on the draw my half hour commute each way. They play different things.
Right. And of course, their host, Tom Bowerly, their AM, their morning host, is very against the Occupy movement. I happen to hear him, you know, say some pretty disparaging things. He was overjoyed, of course, that they were evicted.
That's why I said the news versus the comment.
Right.
You know, Bowery and Beach are comment. They're not news. They're making commentary on the news.
Right. That's a really good point. And National Public Radio, they seem so watered down and so conservative, you know. And I've been listening to them lately, and I'm just really disappointed, you know. You know, they just, I mean, I guess they're just afraid to say anything of value, you know, about anything. It just really seems odd to me. I mean, they actually interviewed the guy who wrote The Bell Curve not too long ago, you know, that book about, you know, I haven't read the book, but from what I understand, it essentially tries to make the claim that white people are smarter or something like that, you know, and they actually interviewed him and gave him a lot of airtime and...
Really, they're recycling that guy after all these years?
Yeah.
Unreal.
On National Public Radio.
Unreal.
On National Public Radio. So, you know, so much for them. They used to be pretty progressive. I don't know what happened, but, you know, I guess it's up to us to start our own podcasts and stuff like that. It's not like I have a whole lot to say today that's real earth-shattering, but I just wanted to... I kind of started today's podcast at the last minute because I'd heard that Occupy Western New York was raided, and I was really disappointed by that because they were building up an old house in one of the poorest neighborhoods.
Oh, they set up an instruction.
They basically went to this very poor, very dangerous area on the east side of Buffalo, and they found an old house, and they went inside and started rebuilding it, you know, and painting it up and making it look really nice. And apparently, you know, the city came and they boarded the house up and put a big sign up that says no trespassing and you'll get a award for, what was it, Mr. J, $1,000?
Yeah, you could get a $1,000 reward, I guess, if you report on trespassers and invaders.
Yeah, so, yeah, and I mean, and here the city's not doing a thing to fix any of these old houses. And, you know, these guys from Occupy were doing it for free, you know, and they get raided.
Well, I've actually been interest of full disclosure, I had my own podcast, 2007.
What's it called?
A conservative podcast.
Oh, it's a conservative, okay. So you're against the Occupy movement then, would that be correct?
I'm not against it, but it for me, it came across more as what's the best way that I can put it? Bitching for the sake to bitch. That's the best way that I can put, you know, the way that I saw it.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Because the sound wasn't very clear when you said that. Could you repeat what you just said?
I said, for my own opinion of it was bitching for the sake of bitching.
Now, in the case of some of the movements, and I just on earlier, the statement that they were all disparate groups or all individual modules, very oddly, because the different groups have been run, or in some cases, not run. And then the things that have happened, that had headlines.
Okay, did you follow that? You're kind of, I'm sorry, the audio, you kind of went on and off there. You said some of the group, the people in the, it kind of came through, but it was just on and off. You know, you sound like you're on a cell phone or something. Could you repeat that last part of what you said about the people in the Occupy? Were you saying that there's a diverse group of people there? Is that what you were trying to say? I'm not really sure. Oh, that there's a diverse group of people. And did you think that was a bad thing? Did you think, very disparate group. So do you think that's a bad thing, that you know, that they were too disparate? Do you think that they weren't unified enough, or that they should have, been more focused, as Mr. J was suggesting just now? Because I kind of felt like they needed a focus as well. I mean, I understand what their cause was about. I totally understand that, and I support it, but I feel like they needed to focus on some more specific goals in order to unite such a diverse group of people.
I'm sympathetic to your use of the word bitch. You know, there's a lot of whining out there, and you know, it's the other guy's fault, and it's this and that, and well, and even though whatever truth there is in the problems that exist that we're dealing with today, that doesn't come up with an action plan that changes anything, or a focus that, like we just said.
Yeah, and I noticed, guest four, you just posted that the main thing you think that has hurt the movement was the lack of a unification of a voice. I think that's kind of what we've been saying. I mean, kind of what Mr. J is saying in a way, isn't it? Sort of what you're saying, Mr. J,
yeah,
that they weren't unified enough?
Which is hard. I appreciate that. Hard. I mean, they're trying to speak for the 99%, and and they were trying to not exclude anybody.
But that's difficult to do in a diverse country.
Yeah, so
like
when you do that, how do you actually have a consensus of any kind of concrete action that might actually long-term change something?
Yeah, you know what I think is interesting, Mr. J, is that most of the time when we air these podcasts, we get people who are primarily very conservative. I mean, for the most part. I mean, we've had Old Hobe on the show a couple of times, but most of the time it's in people who are very conservative, and quite often people who are not supportive of the movement. And I think that's interesting, especially since I've gone on the Occupy sites and promoted it and asked people, urged people to come on the show and talk about why they occupy. But we still, you know, we usually get people who are often not very supportive. And I know, guest four, you didn't say you were unsupportive, but, we've had a lot of people who come on the show typically are not very supportive of the Occupy movement or they're semi-supportive. And for some reason, we haven't had very many people come on the show who are extremely supportive of the movement. I always wonder why that is.
Well, of course.
They keep complaining and whining and saying the media is not talking about them. The media is not covering them. They're not getting enough coverage, or they're getting bad coverage. And so I write to them and say, well, can you come? Well, you want to come on this podcast and talk? I mean, yes, it's not Fox News. Yes, we're not rich and famous, but I mean, here's a chance for you to express your opinions, and some people will hear you. May not be millions of people, but it will still be some people who will get a chance to hear you. And yet, you know, they're not calling in. So what's that about? Is that more bitch, bitch, bitch? We just want to complain. We don't actually want to do anything, by any chance, or is there some other reason?
Well, it's difficult to say, but.
Well, hi, guest four. Welcome back. We hope that you're able to get better audio here. And of course, if you're not very audible, you know, just feel free to type in your comments and I'll just read them if you like. But hopefully we'll be able to hear you much better this time. What were you saying, Mr. J?
I guess I wasn't sure exactly what to say, or I don't know if I have an additional comment that actually would build on what I've already said yet. Mm-hmm. That would be helpful, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious as to why, you know, a lot of Occupy Buffalo supporters, or just a lot of Occupy supporters, don't come on the show and talk. You know, as I was really hoping when I set up the show that we'd get more people coming on and talking about why they occupy and what motivates them and what they'd like to see change in the world. I certainly have a lot of ideas on that one. Guest four, also known as Hart Hatton, do you have any ideas? I mean, are there ways that you'd like to change the world, or as a conservative? Does that, if you're a conservative, does that mean that you don't want to change the world, that you think things are okay the way they are? I mean, do you have anything you'd like to say? You're going to dial back in? Okay, guest four. You dial right back in, because we'd like to hear your opinion on this. I certainly would like things to change in a very big way. I'm very unhappy with the system we have right now. How do you feel, Mr. J?
The system, quote unquote, as it stands, cannot sustain itself.
It's not sustainable, right?
Things are a disaster. No one talks about the tens of trillions of dollars. I mean, the bailing out the whole Western Europe, American economic system. The thing is total bankrupt fraud, and that means everything's up for grabs to just totally disintegrate and fall apart.
Well, the media, even National Public Radio, National Conservative Radio, whatever you want to call it, National Lying Radio, Fox News Radio, whatever, National Public Radio, they are claiming that everything's great, the economy's getting better. That's what they're telling us. So, Mr. J, do you disagree? You don't think the economy...
Oh, well, even they, the last thing I heard was where they said something about employment was down to 8.3%. Even they agreed, the officials who generate these fallacious numbers, was that if they had really included the part-time people who were looking for full-time work, or all the people who weren't on the rolls but weren't working, they just weren't officially registered as looking for work, the unemployment would be at least 15%. And so you can't trust, in other words, these... there was another one that came up. I forget what the blog was, but there was some numbers generated on the economy, and I wish I could remember the details. But they said they would give $10,000 to any member of the bureaucracy who was part of that if they would release what the government algorithm, financial formula, the math they used was to generate this number, which was completely backwards of reality. I don't know. This wasn't the unemployment numbers, but it was something else that was still just ridiculous. It had no...
What was that? Could you repeat that?
I said it's probably the rate of growth.
Right. And how do you feel about this? Do you think the economy is getting better?
No.
No. Okay.
No, I really don't. It's a case of, you asked, do you want to change the government? Do you want to see things change? Yes. Mm-hmm. I would have done a podcast for, now in my year if I hadn't been doing it. By the way, there is a bad echo that I'm getting on this.
You're probably getting the feedback because
We're using two microphones. I don't know if that's causing the echo or not.
Yeah, your speaker's into our mics. So that's probably why.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. And actually, I had called into your show literally to test audio to see if I could use a different phone.
Oh.
And I learned very quickly that I couldn't.
Oh, okay.
So, but to answer your question, the Occupy movement has said that, the banks shouldn't be bailed out. Big corporations should not get, as many tax subsidies and tax breaks. Those kinds of things are in line with the same lines of thought that I had as a fiscal conservative.
Interesting.
The difference is in the mechanism and in the method of deploying that message. And that's where I said, text chat that the Occupy groups, their biggest problem is that there's not been a unified voice, and I understand that they want especially when you're dealing with an organization that is a group full of leaders, or at least that want to consider themselves leaders, otherwise known as bureaucrats or elected officials, you have to have some point of contrition. And that's where they really failed in their message.
I'm sorry, so that last part you said that they you feel that they need to have some sort of leadership, or they need to have a front person?
No, I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me all right now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so I'm sorry, in that last part, are you saying that there needs to be a leader or a front person for the movement? Is that what you just said?
Yes, either a leader or a PR group, for lack of a better term. Somebody that can coherently converse about the core issues that the Occupy movement as a whole has. And the problem is that if you listen to Occupy New York versus Occupy Buffalo versus Occupy Oakland versus Occupy Dallas versus Occupy Atlanta versus Occupy whatever, there are other organizations that have glommed on, and everybody, since there is no centralized communication method, everybody is shouting different messages.
Yep.
Okay. What do you have to say about that, Mr. J? I mean, how could we have one central message when, our country is so diverse? We have such a variety of people in this country. I wonder if it's, I kind of see a united message, though, I mean, for myself in the Occupy movement, which is to get the voice of the people in the government and, you know, stop corporate control of our government and corporate control of our society. I kind of see that as a unified message, but I kind of see that
as... The problem is that just by saying, okay, we want the voice of the people in the government, when you listen to some of the messages that have been said, when you include things like you've got some of the tenets, we need to reduce the corporate influence of government. We need to go back to, we need to get more of the people and less of the lobbyists. Much of that is in line with other groups. But then you also, there are many Occupy movements that have been joined by, various environmental movements, various union movements, which I hate to say is also corporate in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You have all of these different groups that are joining in with the Occupy folks, and the truth of the matter is that it's muddying the message. Because when you've got one person standing there talking about saving the trees, standing next to somebody that says they want their voice heard more in government, the people that are saying we want our voice heard more in government are going to be overshadowed by other messages.
Okay, that's
when I say a unified message, I don't mean an overall we want our voice heard. It is, here's our platform. It's the same reason that the Tea Party's kind of died off again, because they had something of a unified message. But if you look at Tea Party Florida versus Tea Party New York versus Tea Party California, the messages were all slightly different, and they got into their own little internal power struggles that didn't, that ended up causing them to go, all right, when they figure out what they're doing, I'm going to listen to them.
So they weren't specific enough, basically. I mean, it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt about Occupy Buffalo. Like, it wasn't specific enough. So they had all these different people together, and then people started arguing with each other and fighting, and people weren't getting along. And I kind of felt like if they just focused on some very specific, narrow issue that was related to the overall issue, that they could have gotten people together to,
Maybe it was the idea, if you could find one thing to accomplish, then maybe you could build on that. But how can you learn? But with all this going on in everyone's heads, the bitching, the complaining, the whining, that's out of this frustration and anger and fear that's in the hearts of everyone to some extent, how do you get any kind of focus on, let's actually get something to happen? Again, you end up with the problem of leadership and actually numbers not helping here. It's always been true, whether you're talking about our own Revolutionary War history, is it's focused on some sort of focused principle behind what they're doing in a minority that gets things done. And Tea Party and Occupy reflect a sort of population, like, you know, waves coming and going, surges of dissatisfaction, a mass movement. But because of that, because of this lack of focus, maybe it's not taken seriously, but actually it's a very serious indication of the ails that we have in the country right now. But
I completely understand and agree. And understand, you know, this, what I'm saying is where I'm kind of reading what the media is and is not doing. You know, I'm not in the media beyond my podcast, which, by the way, I have to run and start myself. My show starts at 8:30.
Okay, what's the name of your show? Tell us what the name of it is. And
It is the East Coast Conservative Podcast.
Okay. And it airs on Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time?
Sundays at 8:30. We do it once a week. And we're going to start recording episode 218.
Okay, that's great. And are you a supporter of Ron Paul? I just wanted to ask you that before you go.
No. I keep vacillating on the anything but Romney.
Okay, so you're not a Ron Paul supporter?
No.
Okay.
He's a libertarian for my life.
Right.
Well, that's interesting, because I met a libertarian who doesn't support him because she said he's too Republican for her.
That's definitely a major problem. Yes.
Yep, that is very true. Very true. We thank you for taking the time to participate in our show, and good luck with your show. Ours will be ending shortly. So, yeah, we appreciate it. You have a great night.
No problem.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, that was Guest 4, also known as Hatton. He also hosts his own show, TalkShoe.com. Conservative, what did he say? Conservative Western New York. Conservatives. Check that out if you dare. We kind of scheduled this at the last minute because I just wanted to talk about how Occupy Western New York was rated after Occupy Buffalo had been rated. So it seems that, you know, the attitude towards the Occupy movement here in Buffalo has changed. The city was supportive of it, and the Occupy Buffalo people had a contract with the city. In which the city agreed to let them occupy Niagara Square, and that changed. Their contract expired, and they were evicted. And now it seems that just a couple of weeks later, the Occupy Western New York folks have found their house boarded up. And apparently what I'd heard from one of the Occupy Western New Yorkers is that Occupy Buffalo had at one time been offered by the city the chance to occupy some old abandoned homes. And the city basically said to them, you can fix them up, you can live in there, and we'll give you the house for free. But the Occupy Buffalo people turned them down. But some folks who'd moved away from Occupy Buffalo, and this is what I mean, Mr. J, about the infighting going on here. Some folks moved away from Occupy Buffalo, started their own group called Occupy Western New York, because the Occupy Buffalo people didn't like the fact they moved away from Occupy Buffalo. And they basically decided they were going to start occupying these houses. And so, you know, we kind of thought the city would sort of support them in that, since these houses are pretty much a blight to the city. I mean, they pretty much are not making the city look good, and here they are fixing them up. But nope, the city came and boarded up the house and said, you can't fix up these houses. We need to let them deteriorate and look terrible and make our city look bad.
You know, the irony of this, we've just been talking about the lack of focus or central message. The irony is that the Occupy Western New York had a central focus of actually making a house usable and therefore not just a place where maybe the homeless, well, maybe the dissatisfied people, the what, you know, a place that would have a purpose in the not only in renewing the house and making it a new place in the community, but also serving purpose in itself by being there, greater than physically the fixing it up. So they had a focus.
Right.
So even when you have a focus, it doesn't always work out.
Yeah, that's what's so disappointing to me about it is they had a focus and they were actually doing something positive and something that really helped the city, benefited the city. Even the government of the city benefited because, you know, this is the city of Buffalo didn't need to spend money fixing up those houses, and yet they were pushed out. So, well, we're going to be ending this podcast pretty soon. I mean, it's a short podcast today because, again, it was a last-minute podcast. Responding to the news that I'd gotten that Occupy Western New York was kind of dismantled, just like Occupy Buffalo was. But did you have any more comments, Mr. J, on this? I mean, you made some really good points so far.
No, I think that made my contribution for this time.
Okay, yes, and it is. It's almost 8:30 here on the East Coast in Buffalo, New York. 6.5-hour drive away from New York City, 10-hour drive if you're Mr. J. Everybody else takes 6.5 hours, except for me. I'll take 20 hours because I have a back problem, so I can't sit for long periods of time and drive. But anyway, we're not too far from New York City. We're northwest of New York City. And we're not too far from Toronto either. We're 2.5 hours drive from Toronto. And we're just about as far from Montreal as we are from New York City as well. So we're right near the Canadian border. We've got an interesting position here because we're so close to Canada, so close to another country that has a more progressive system than ours, actually provides free health care to its people. And there's an article about that in the Art Voice, actually, recently, about why can't we learn from Canada since we're so close to Canada. Anyway, thank you all for listening, and all those of you who plan on downloading this podcast, we appreciate it. We appreciate you. Okay, this is Buffy Lowe here with Mr. J. We are Sunday evening, shortly before 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, February 19th. And guess what? We are signing out. No more 3-hour-long podcasts like we did a few weeks ago. We're signing out tonight. We hope to hear, to speak with you, to discuss political issues pertaining to the Occupy movement with you next week or perhaps the following week. When it suits our fancy, we shall be back. We appreciate all of our guests, even those with whom we disagree, because this is all about healthy discussion and people having a free speech. That's what this is about, free speech. So with that, good night, everybody. Have a wonderful and peaceful night.